This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Darvish kicks and fires, and his pitch is grounded to third. Backhanded by Tyler Wade near the line. Long throw to first is in time. Back-to-back 1-2-3 innings to begin the day for Yu Darvish.
Padres are going to beat the Giants today 6-4 to open up the home schedule. On a happy note, on a less than a happy evening, though, we welcome you back into a bonus hour of Gwynn and Chris. Chrisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. We were willing to stay an extra hour tonight, Scraby, because we were here to celebrate the Aztecs. You know what Brian Dutcher said before they left for Boston on Tuesday?
I do.
He said the good news was we weren't playing the Celtics. Maybe they should have played the Celtics. I don't know that they could have been any more dominant than UConn was tonight. UConn beat the Aztecs 82-52. Yep.
The second half was just
turned out.
The second half was
down nine
so
at halftime. They were within.
Burn.
They trailed by four with about 4 minutes to go in the first half. Ladie got his second foul. UConn would go up by nine. And then, just completely overwhelmed them in the second half. So UConn goes on to the East Region Final. They'll play either Iowa State or Illinois. That game tips off in about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, in the West Regional, a surprise, Clemson looked really, really good. Arizona looked like they didn't show up to play much. I don't really understand a performance like that, but then again, I didn't follow Arizona all year. I know that they lost some head-scratching games, and this explains it to me. I mean, they don't come to play, Arizona, to me. They don't dig in. They kind of throw up a bunch of threes, and if they're going in, they blow you out, and if they don't go in, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And tonight, they shot 17% from the arc. Clemson played some good basketball, and I thought they were a deserving winner. 77-72 was the final. Clemson will go on to face either North Carolina or Alabama right now. Carolina 12, Alabama 7, obviously early in the first half. Now, before we went to break, Scraby and I were talking about, should we really be overreacting and buying into what the Padres have shown us through the first three games of the season, which is a team that apparently can hit with runners in scoring position now, a team that runs the bases great.
Oh, yeah.
They really ran the bases.
Sexy, according to Mike Schilt.
They ran the bases sexy, according to Mike Schilt. A team that, you know, is winning some close games. They're showing the ability to come from behind.
Mm-hmm. Late in games.
They're manufacturing runs. They only had one extra base hit today, a double, and they still scored six runs. A lot of singles, walks, taking extra bases, productive outs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff that we didn't really see a lot of last year.
Correct.
So I told Scraby, I said, maybe it's a little early to be buying, you know, everything that the Padres are trying to sell, you know, because it's three games. And he goes, well, we never felt like this last year. And I said, well, let's see. So we went back in the schedule last year, and on April the 10th, the Padres had a record of 6-4. They were coming off a three-game weekend demolition of the Braves in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They had won the Sunday night game 10-2. And I said, we should go back and see, how did we sound on that show? Like, how excited were we after they beat the Braves three straight games on the road to improve their record to 6-4. So Scraby looked it up.
Here it is.
Here's how we sounded.
1-1 from Dylan Dodd. Pitch coming, and Cruz swings, hits it in the air to deep left center field. Rosario will go back. He will watch it. It will go. A three-run homer for Nelson Cruz.
So we start.
No doubter to left. His second of the year. And the Padres do cash in those back-to-back singles. It's 4-0 here in the third.
And just like that, Nelson Cruz takes the RBI lead for the San Diego Padres and helps the Friars into first place, where they belong in the National League West. Good Monday
where
to everybody. Welcome into Gwen and Chris.
That was really good.
Yeah, they were at first place, all right. Right where they belong.
Right where they belong.
Yeah, after that show was over, they'd go on to lose 7 of their next 9 games.
Is that right?
That is
so
correct.
So that was the beginning of the end.
Almost. I don't know if you know, we could go back to last season, but the one thing about last season, it all really fell apart for good on the Padres on about May the 10th, a month later. They were 19-17. They would be in Minnesota. They'd lose the first of 5 games in a row, 2 to the Twins and 3 to the Dodgers. Fell below the 500 mark and never got back to 500 again. So that was kind of early May. Last year, May 10th.
Do you remember when, because I know, I remember this game because it was on my birthday.
Right.
And it was when they were playing the Nationals, and that Odor home run in the, I think it was the top of the 9th.
Oh, yes, that was early in the second half of the season.
No, it was May 25th, because that's my birthday. I remember.
It was at Washington?
It was at Washington, May 25th.
All right, let me look at it again.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
We got nothing but time right now.
No, that's true.
Yes, you're right. Odor, May 25th, right. They went to, but that only improved their record to 23-27.
But what I'm saying is that win felt like it was such a big win.
Right.
For that point in the season.
Yeah.
Because they were going to go down 5 games under 500. Blake Snell hadn't even really done his Blake Snell thing yet.
He hadn't won a game yet.
And,
or maybe he had 1-1.
But Odor hits that home run, and
two outs in the ninth.
Everybody is just loving life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There was no life to be loved last year. They fell below 500 on May 12th, and they were never at or over 500 again.
And no, that's not true. They had finished with a winning record.
Oh, right. Until the very end of the season.
Yeah. But, I mean,
yeah.
But seriously, what did they win in their
If I say stuff that's wrong tonight, I have a good excuse. I'm in a deep depression at the moment.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah, you're right. They finished over 500, so they did get back to 500. But you know what I mean? It took them until winning the last 5 games of the season to get over 500. So, yes, from May 12th to September 29th.
Oh, man.
They were under 500. So
that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a really long time.
They were pretty much, they won their last 5 games last year. They were 77-80, and then they would finish 82-80.
Just such a waste of a year. I was waiting for Bob Melvin to be introduced at the game. I got up to go get something to drink because there's no indication that was going to happen. He got introduced while I was getting something to drink, but the reviews are in. He got booed, Chris.
Yeah.
He got booed.
I knew he would.
Which is fine.
Because you people really think he was the everything that was wrong last year, and that's just not accurate.
I've
that's
come
all.
To the conclusion that that's it was probably half and half.
No. What, it was his fault half?
I feel like just what we heard after the season that maybe
what did we hear?
That there was discord amongst the front office between the manager and the general manager.
I think there was discord everywhere last year, but I don't blame Bob Melvin for it.
No, no. Do we want to hear from Xander Bogaerts with Sammy Lev after the game? I think so.
I would love to hear that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Xander, you come up to bat, runner in scoring position representing the go-ahead run. What was your approach in that at bat?
To be honest, I was kind of taking on Brittle. You know what I mean? It's a young kid, probably unfamiliar role. You know, normally he's a starter and he comes here. He has 2 games, pitching in some pretty important situations. Didn't get the job done. I mean, I see that every time. I mean, you can see it on his face, man. It's hurting the kid, you know. So just try to get the run in. I mean, give him something to feel happy about. You know, I mean, as I said, his confidence probably a little shattered right there. But just taking on him, man. I mean, and Merrill put up a good at bat. I just felt like he ran the bases, put up good at bats, and it was a good team win.
Xander, 3 games in, you're swinging the bat really well. What's worked so well so far?
Just continue to work, you know, and just continue to work, man. I'm obsessed with that. You know, I want to stay playing at a high level for a long time, and laziness is not in my DNA. So, I mean, just continue to work and find ways to get better. You know, listen to others, try to help others. You know, I mean, maybe the game rewards you for stuff like that.
Opening day here at Petco Park, sold out crowd, another really nice win. What were your emotions on a day like this, start to finish?
I mean, I ain't gonna lie. Maybe a couple times I'm like, damn, it's gonna happen again, like last year. You know, like we're winning and they come back, and now we're like, oh, you know, but we bounce right back, man. I think that's a good sign that we know that this year is different. You know, right from the get-go, we had those games in Korea, and now coming here in the U.S. to Petco doing that same thing. You know, because I think last year at times you kind of like, I wouldn't say full, but we get down and never really bounce back real quick. So I feel like that's a good sign that you know that it's a new year.
Xander, congratulations on another great day, another really nice win. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You got it.
Sammy Leavitt is the guy.
I love Xander
Bogaerts. Didn't Sammy Leavitt sound well-fed there?
Yes, he actually did.
We had Spiros bring us Mediterranean food yesterday. Yeah, Spiros, Sam Leavitt got in on that, and then some.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He actually stood outside the window and was looking inside.
He ate a helping, like a huge helping, and then came back and was standing out the window, and he looked like a dog, you know, searching for its bone.
He was like,
and I'm like, Sammy, come on in. You can get seconds. He was so happy.
And he came in and he got seconds.
He got seconds.
I got to say, I got seconds when I got home, too. Chris
delicious.
Was nice enough to let me take some of the food home.
It was
and
delicious.
There's something about a nice, and I don't ever say this word right, tzatziki.
Oh, tzatziki, you like that?
I love tzatziki sauce.
Okay.
It's the most
That's
amazing.
Not my favorite.
Really? Really?
No, I'm a hummus guy.
That is true.
I like hummus, and I like to say baba ganoush. I don't really love baba ganoush.
I'm sorry,
but
what?
I like to say baba
what is
ganoush.
Baba ganoush?
You don't know what baba ganoush is?
No. Should I look it up?
I don't know if I can spell it well enough for you to look it up, but baba ganoush is some sort of eggplant type of... Eggplant is the base of baba ganoush,
but it's
a Greek sauce or something you can dip bread into. You know what I mean?
Any sauce I could dip pita bread into, I'm good with.
Well, it's kind of like hummus, but it's the base instead of garbanzo beans, which is hummus. It's eggplant, and it's called baba ganoush.
Well, I'm not so into the eggplant.
I didn't think you would be, but I like to say baba ganoush.
Because baba ganoush is a great word.
Who doesn't like to say that?
Hey, I can tell you, it's actually baba ganoush.
That's what I said.
Oh, I've been saying something different, but it's B-A-B-A space G-A-N-O-U-S-H.
Yeah, baba ganoush.
Baba ganoush.
Yeah.
By the way, I walked around the stadium today, and they have some really good food spots. Like Spiros is a
Spiros
spot
is there now, yeah.
But they have some new stuff there that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I couldn't eat it because I ate so much Greek food yesterday.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
By the way, our guy Mad Dog Russo, we can talk about anything right now because we're just going till 8 o'clock.
And yeah,
I don't think anybody cares. Mad Dog Russo was on today. You know, he's on that, what is it? The Stephen A. Smith Show.
Yes.
First Take.
Yes, First Take.
And he has a segment that is patterned after your daily gripe. Only for Russo, it's like a daily yell.
Okay.
Right? He finds something that's bothering him, and then he screams about it at the top of his lungs. And it's at least a little annoying.
Really? What was he screaming about?
But if you can get through the screaming and the yelling and the scratchy voice and the waving of his arms, I think he says some things that make, you know, decent sense.
I got to look this up.
And what he said today was NCAA Sweet 16, it is ridiculous what time they play these games.
Mm.
Ridiculous. Not to you and I. We're here on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Where the Aztecs played at 4:30 and the Illinois-Iowa State game is about to finally get underway at 7:15. But imagine where 70% of the viewing audience is in the East Coast. Or not, you know, but a half, a lot on the East Coast. That game, it's 10:15 and they haven't even tipped off yet.
Yeah, that's kind of brutal.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you want, and this is what, you know, Russo was going on and on about, but you want to gain new college basketball fans, some kids. Who can watch this?
No one.
10:15 start time?
Yeah, kids are in bed.
The North Carolina-Alabama game won't be over till after 11. The Illinois-Iowa State game won't be over until after midnight.
I've never understood that either, especially
that's
in
really
the NCAA
bad.
Tournament.
I think it's almost like they do us a favor on the West Coast by starting the games, giving us a chance to get home at 4:30, you know, leave work a little early and see the game. But on the East Coast, you have no chance to watch college basketball unless you're, you know what I mean? And if you're working at 8 in the morning, you may not choose not to stay up.
When I lived in Cincinnati, which is in the Eastern time zone, it was one of the worst things in the world because no football starts until 1 p.m. on Sundays. And then you have to wait until 8:30 for like Sunday night football. The game doesn't get over until about midnight.
Well after midnight, right?
Well after midnight.
Yeah. It's Monday night football.
Pretty
sure.
Brutal, I gotta say.
It's a different lifestyle that we're not used to out here.
All right, can we talk about Draymond Green?
At the next segment, okay. We will. We have to take a break. North Carolina leads Alabama 26-24. They're midway through a high-scoring first half. And Iowa State and Illinois at long last, 10:15 Eastern time, have just tipped off.
Underway.
We'll be back with more Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple of hours here of Gwen and Chris. We're supposed to be on celebrating the Aztecs' success tonight. Nobody wants to jump on the phone and commiserate and try to make me feel a little better. I'm heartbroken over here.
Chris is having a tough time, guys.
It wasn't easy to watch that. It really, truly wasn't. UConn 82, the Aztecs 52. And again, I don't think it was a whole lot of how bad the Aztecs were. I just think it was a whole lot of how good UConn was. Illinois, by the way, has jumped out to an 11-2 lead over Iowa State. Obviously, that's early in the first half. North Carolina is playing Alabama, I believe. Yeah?
Yes, they are.
North Carolina, Alabama?
I think they're tied.
They were tied last time I looked, 26 all. They're in a commercial break right now. Scraby, you had an interesting, you want to talk about Steph Curry, so let's get that out of the way, because we've been trying to talk about it for an hour.
All right.
What is it you want to talk about?
The reason I want to talk about it, I usually wouldn't shoehorn this in there, but there was another Draymond Green ejection last night.
Got it.
And
saw it.
So the Warriors were playing the Magic, and Draymond Green gets called for first 4 minutes of the game. So he gets called for a foul, and he's like kind of still John with the referee. I almost called him an umpire. He's John with the referee, and the referee's doing a good job of ignoring him, but he must have said the magic word and he got ejected from the game. And then Steph Curry, they put the camera on him, and he puts his jersey over his head, and he's just like shaking his head like, no, this is not happening again.
Right.
Draymond came out later and he said, yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that. I have to be a part of the game. But I got to think at some point the Warriors are going to, I think Steph Curry's over this, because Steph Curry can't win for the Warriors every night by himself, and Draymond Green's very important. But I'm kind of tired of the whole Draymond Green gets ejected and then apologizes for it. This is a guy who who got suspended earlier in the year, had to take an indefinite leave to go to anger management and classes like that. Doesn't seem like it's working to me, Chris. It's not good to have this incident in the same season as your first incident.
What do I tell you about anger management?
I don't
remember.
It
doesn't work. Everybody who goes to anger management eventually gets angry again.
It could work.
I've never seen it work. I'm sure there's somebody out there who went to anger management. To me, anger management is like alcoholism. You're not going to get less angry until you make up your mind that you're not going to act that way anymore.
Oh, that's, yes.
And I don't know that Draymond Green is there yet.
No.
I think he's trying, but he's not there yet. I also want to really be critical of the official last night.
Really? Because I thought he did a good job.
He didn't. Draymond Green wanted to talk to him and ask him about a couple of calls, and the guy kept walking away. That would anger any athlete, and especially a lunatic like Draymond Green. Just answer his question so the game can continue. I get yelled at all the time officiating, and coaches and players, they want to ask you something. Come here, ref, hey, what? If I ignore them, it just makes it worse.
Hmm.
If I go over and talk to them, they don't hardly ever agree with me, but at least it ends the situation. So I just thought it was a bad job of officiating. But beyond that, Draymond Green is not ready to be over his anger management issues. And maybe Steph Curry's frustrated, but the one thing that is never going to change, I don't think, is that the Warriors are just not as good without Draymond there.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
You know, the Warriors right now they're in 10th place. They're a game ahead of Houston. They may not even make it to the playoffs. Klay Thompson is a shell of what he once was.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is, you know, still as mad as ever, but he's not as good as ever.
No. Andrew Wiggins sometimes.
So I think the frustration Steph has right now is that he's the only one that stayed as good as he is. Everybody else has fallen way off.
I can't remember who said it, but they said if Steph wants to win again, he's going to have to leave the Warriors. And I know that he wants to be a Warrior for life, but I don't know that they're going to be able to rebuild a team in time to get him there again.
I think Steph has to leave the Warriors too if he wants to win again. The problem being that he has stayed at a certain level and everyone else has fallen back. So I think it's time for him to go elsewhere if he wants to win again. And I think he's good enough to win again.
Yeah. He's still pretty young, comparatively. And he's still making a lot of great shots.
The other guys on the Warriors just have not been able to keep up with his greatness.
Well, I guess Draymond called the ref a punk bleep bleep.
Yeah. See, that's uncalled for. But again, I don't think the ref would get that if the ref would have just tried to answer his question.
Now, I don't know this for sure, but since you are a resident referee, now, if a coach was constantly getting on your case about stuff, and wasn't that game, it's just a game after game, every time you ref their games.
And it's impossible to separate every game. Because if you've ref Draymond Green before, and he's been screaming at you the whole night, and now you're refing him again, and he's screaming at you the whole night, yeah, you're going to have a shorter fuse. No question.
Yeah.
No question about that.
So stop apologizing, Draymond. Just do it.
It's hard.
Be better.
It's, you know, you quit alcohol.
I did.
It wasn't easy.
It wasn't.
And you probably had temptations. You look at Draymond Green, who's trying to quit anger, and the temptation is there every night, like 5 times a night.
Thank goodness I'm not an anger addict.
That's tough.
I would be a nightmare.
Very tough.
It is tough.
Yeah.
And
you get bad calls in basketball, they don't go away.
Jay Williams also said that Steph Curry is not controlling Draymond. I shouldn't say Jay Williams said that, but one of the ESPN guys said that.
Not controlling him.
Yeah, like Steph has any control over what Draymond does on the court.
That seems a little silly.
Yeah, I agree.
There was another incident in the NBA last night, too, Philadelphia.
What happened?
Kelly Oubre.
Okay, yeah, I know who he is.
He basically flipped off the ref.
Really?
After the game.
Oh, yes, I did see this.
He basically flipped him off. It was after the game was over.
Yeah.
So I don't think they, you know, now he's going to have to pay a major fine, et cetera, down the road. But the Clippers won the game.
Mm-hmm.
The referees said afterwards they missed a call at the end.
All right, at least
that he should have gone to the free throw line.
All right.
But they didn't call the foul. And he's sitting on the floor, and the game was over, and he just basically flipped off the officials. Then their coach came out and screamed, and he went over and screamed crazy. He had what amounted to a heartfelt type apology after the game.
Oh, wow, okay.
Said, you know, I can't behave that way, so I want to apologize for that, heat of the moment. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know, now if this happens again, probably not going to give him as much benefit of the doubt. But, you know, these guys get frustrated. You know, they want to win. They're competitors.
They are.
You know, you want a fair shake.
And it's
you watch the Aztec game tonight. I'm screaming at the officials from here to Boston.
And they weren't even really that bad.
They weren't really that bad.
Well, they could have called a couple over the back fouls on the
Well, they
big
could
guy.
Have called every foul in the game against UConn.
But they didn't.
And the Aztecs could have made every three that they tried. And they still probably would have lost.
Mm.
That's how good UConn was tonight.
Man, oh man.
Ah! All right, I think you got a really good subject to talk about next.
Okay.
Matt Snyder.
Yes.
CBS Sports. He did some research, or he's reacting to research.
Yes, he's reacting to a poll.
All right, here's what the poll says, and then we'll tell you what his reaction to it is. The poll says that most of you out there can hit major league pitching.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll discuss when Gwen and Chris comes back. This hour, heck, this whole show, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by your local San Diego County UPS store. Your local San Diego County UPS store locations are hosting a Shred event. It got underway today, but the good news for you, it runs through March 30th. There's 50% off shredding services. Visit the upsstore.com
for
the location nearest you. Or see store for details. Gwen and Chris Ello-Scraby, together in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Games in progress. Illinois and Iowa State, like, they can't make a basket between them. Illinois 16, Iowa State 9. They're midway through the first half. Alabama, North Carolina, they can't miss a basket. 1 minute left in the first half. Carolina 51, Alabama 46. They're still in the first half of that game. Both teams might make 100.
This is a final score right here. 51-46?
I know. I wish the Aztecs could have scored 51. They did. They scored 52.
Nice. Good job, Chris.
UConn scored 82. If you're just tuned in, Padres won their home opener 6-4 over the Giants today. We've been celebrating that fact throughout the proceedings. But Matt Snyder, our guy from CBS Sports, came across an interesting nugget. Now, what was the study again that he was referring to? Somebody did a study about whether or not normal everyday sports fans think they could hit major league pitching.
Yes.
Now, and like, what amounts to hitting it? Putting it into play, just making contact, or do you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's just get a hit.
Get a hit. Okay.
Yeah. So,
how many people with a straight face said they believe they could get a hit off a major league pitcher?
Okay. So here it is. 2,000 sports fans were surveyed by Sports Handle about who could get a hit in major leagues.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure this out real quick. 23% of fans think if they had gone pro in baseball, they could reach AAA or the majors. I don't think that's true, people.
One out of every four sports fans think that if they put their mind to it, they could be at least a AAA baseball player.
I will say I thought that a long time ago.
You did?
I thought maybe when I was in my 20s or something, you know, I could learn how to play baseball or learn how to hit. Okay. I was a dumb kid.
All right, 23% of you are ridiculous, but go ahead. What else did the survey say?
The survey said on average, fans think they could hit .233 if given 100 MLB at-bats.
So if they got 100 at-bats, in the major leagues. In the major leagues.
Yes, in the major leagues.
Fans think they could get 23 hits.
Yes,
which
correct.
Is a .230 batting average.
Correct. So they were better than Trent Grisham was last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Over 1 in 4 fans, 28% believe... This is even more crazy.
Yeah.
28% believe they could hit for an average of 300 or better.
28% of you.
Do you realize, people, if you could hit 300 or better, you would be playing baseball for a living?
Well, how about this? Last season in the major leagues, actual major leaguers, 9 players hit 300. Now, that's 9 out of like 600 players are in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Yet, 28 out of every 100 fans think they could hit 300.
Yeah.
What is wrong with that equation?
A lot is wrong with that equation. That's like me saying, oh, yeah, I could go up, I could keep up with a PGA Tour golfer. I'm
That's
good.
Like you and I saying we could be on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Well, now that I've done SD Fat Loss, you know, swimsuit season's already. No, I'm just kidding. There's zero chance I would ever be on the cover of that. Yeah. But this is ridiculous.
People's minds are warped.
Matt Snyder has a funny thing.
What did he say?
Well, first off, let me just start this with this. I saw it this morning. It's called Snyder's Soapbox. So I sent him a tweet saying Daily Gripe meet Snyder's Soapbox because they're basically the same thing.
Okay.
But Matt Snyder says, you're going to hit 0-0-0. And out of those 100 at-bats, you're probably going to strike out 100 times. And I agree with that wholeheartedly because he says, even if you go to like a batting cage, which we have a batting cage right here.
Yes,
down
we
there,
do. Stadium golf. Right.
And they have a fast setting cage. And the fast setting is no more than 70 miles an hour.
Okay.
So think about trying to hit a baseball 25 miles an hour faster than that.
Well,
and in a location you have no idea. He also goes on to say, imagine standing in a box where Aroldis Chapman is throwing 103 and he has no idea where the ball's going.
Well, they also throw curveballs and changeups. They don't just tell you, here's a fastball, and they don't lay it in down the middle. Yeah, I think most people would go 0-100. I don't know that they would strike out 100 times, but they'd strike out at least 99. They might walk once. But, yeah, you're an idiot if you think you can hit major league pitching.
He said, I often hear, I'm just going to read it. I often tell people the first time I saw a slider, I almost cried. That's not hyperbole. Have any of these Barstool 300 hitters seen a big league slider? Again, I haven't. For the record, I was a accomplished high school player, wasn't good enough to see the field in college, and never made pros. But I was better than 99% of baseball fandom. So basically what he's saying is even guys that are really, 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 really good at baseball still couldn't hit major league pitching.
Well, 9 people in Major League Baseball hit 300 last year, yet 28% of everyday Joes think they could hit 300. I mean, as one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Anthony on the chat said something great. MLB The Show, he said, I can't even bat 300 in MLB The Show, which is very true. I am so bad at this game. But this is just ridiculous. He goes on and on and on about this with more stats. So if you want to read this whole thing, you can go to CBSSports.com, go to the MLB page, and look for Snyder's
Good
soapbox.
On Matt Snyder. You know what? There are a lot of people that claim to be able to do a lot of things.
Yes.
And it's not my daily grind. Right, because I don't have that segment. But people who claim to do things just kind of piss me off in general. If you can do it, I don't want to hear you claim you can do it.
Like me dunking?
That's another thing. I'm just not a fan of boastful people.
I'm with you on that one.
I mean, honestly, if you can do it, keep it to yourself. I don't really want to hear it. Honestly.
But they have to let you know, Chris.
I understand that. It would be in my daily gripe. People having to let me know they can do stuff.
Anthony has another great point on the chat. Or eating Thai 10, because I did say that.
Oh,
on the
yeah,
show.
But you
so
did
I'm
that.
So I'm the guy you hate.
You backed that up, though. I was proud of you for that.
I'm the guy you hate.
Yeah. We haven't discovered anything new, have
yeah,
we?
I know. Last thing from Matt Snyder, because he does bring up real athletes that tried to play baseball. And he said, Tim Tebow, one of the best athletes in the last 25 years. He hit 163 in AAA. Michael Jordan, one of the best, or the best basketball player of all time, hit 202 in AA in 1994. And he goes on to say, the level of pitching has gotten a lot better since Michael Jordan was playing in 1994.
Yes, but Joe in the street can hit 300 against major league pitching.
Yeah, that's funny.
That
I really wish we could do something about this. Like, I want to line up listeners and just have a pitching machine just throw 95.
But really throw, it's got to really throw 100.
Like,
not just like what it says at the stadium golf.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to calibrate it to 100.
And it has
and
to
let
go,
it come zipping out of there. You give you five swings, you're not going to touch one.
When we go to spring training and we get to watch the pitchers do their thing, and we're really close, we're 5 to 10 feet away from these guys, you can hear the zip off of the ball. You can
I
hear
get nervous
the,
just yes. standing next to them.
You can hear it.
Let alone having the pitch come at me. I know, I'm, you know, well, what do you want me to say? These guys are all, I'm impressed at most athletes. I'm trying to think of the one thing that athletes can do that I think I can do. I don't really have an answer. I certainly can't hit a golf shot like any golfer. I can't hit a tennis shot like any tennis player.
Yeah.
I can't dunk. I guess I could make a three-pointer, but it would just be pure luck, and they'd have to leave me unguarded.
Yeah, you're not going to shoot over a seven-footer.
No, I certainly couldn't, you know, maneuver myself open. I can't make a tackle. I don't think I would go across the middle and make a catch. And I know I can't hit a baseball. I mean, let's be honest, people. Be honest with yourself, for heaven's sakes. Please.
Man, one day I wish
you
we
can't
could do, this.
Do it.
One day I wish we could do this whole.
And it's okay.
No, it's not okay, Chris.
What? It's not okay?
You know what? I was really good Little League player.
No, I'm saying it's not okay if you can't do it.
I was a really good Little League player, and I feel like I can hit major league pitching, okay?
I remember before COVID.
Yes, I know where you're going. Keep going.
We had a talk show host on this very station who claimed that they could hit 100 mile per hour pitching.
This is true.
And you and I and Tony were going to go do a show live from the batting cage to see if this person could truly hit 100 mile per hour pitching.
Yes.
Then COVID happened. I feel like this person was let off the hook.
Is this person Stephen Woods from the morning? Yes, it was. And, you know, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'd want to give him a shot at it, but I don't have a lot of confidence that he can really hit it.
I don't know. I've never seen
Tony Gwynn Jr., who's a major league ball player, try to hit 105 and was lucky to protect himself and not die in the batter's box.
This is a good point.
And that's a major league hitter, Tony Gwynn Jr.
And I will say, we're not saying that Woods thinks he's a 300 hitter in major leagues.
No, he just said he thinks he can hit the ball.
Yeah.
And we were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're like, I don't know.
I don't think I could get a hit, but I think I could foul one off.
How many pitches would you need, though? You need a couple to just time it.
Give me 10.
You want 10 for a foul off.
I could tip a ball once. If I knew where the ball was coming, that's another thing, Chris. I don't.
What if they could throw a curve also?
I would swing out of my shoes. Because I have played real baseball, like hard pitch baseball as an adult.
Right.
And I had never seen a slider in my life, just like Matt Snyder was saying. Dude threw a slider and I swung out of my shoes.
Yeah.
Not to mention, major league break is much different and much crazier than it is elsewhere.
The closest I can think of that I did something silly like this was I went out to SDSU women's softball practice one time and tried to hit one of their pitchers.
Wait, say that again?
SDSU softball practice.
Yeah.
You know, the women's softball players who whip the ball underhand 700 miles an hour. They let me come out to practice
and
one day and try
happened?
To hit.
And?
Oh, I missed like 30 pitches.
Yeah, because they're so hard to hit.
Yeah. But I finally grounded one like up the middle and felt like I had really accomplished something spectacular. But it was, you know, to say that I could really hit that stuff is silly.
I mean, they have
closed my eyes 30 times. I hit it once.
They have
that
the
doesn't
riser.
Really mean I can do it.
Did you hit a riser or did you hit a?
I don't know what.
Drop
she
ball?
Threw everything. She just threw risers. She threw drop balls. She threw change ups. I swung like four times at one pitch. Because it was a Bugs Bunny changeup. Yeah, I wouldn't claim, even though I hit one, I would not claim to anybody that I could hit that. Because it was just true, pure luck. Number one. Number two, I didn't even know if she was going 100%. She probably got tired of throwing the ball past me and eased up on a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
For all I know.
I mean, she made you feel good, though. You got one up the middle.
I felt great. Yeah, I did hit a ground ball up the middle.
It's not easy.
I went with my old friend. You remember Josh Rosenberg? Did you ever meet him?
I never met him, but I know of him.
Yeah, he went with me. Okay. And he didn't do a whole lot better.
All right. Was he an athlete?
Felt he was. Till he got embarrassed by this young lady.
It's not hard to get embarrassed by a Division I college softball pitcher.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Do you want to play a little Mike Shildt going out?
Sure.
In the wake of the Padres' 6-4 victory over the Giants today?
Let's do that.
Which opened the home portion of the season on a happy note. Is this his post-game press conference or is this
post-game, press conference?
Post-game,
yes.
Mike Shildt on the Padres' win today.
Mike, how satisfying is it to put together a win like that in front of 45,000 home opener?
Yeah, first of all, just good to be back in Petco, right? And that kind of electricity, that kind of crowd, that kind of support. Beautiful day, opening day. It's fantastic. Couldn't ask for much more. And, you know, well played all phases. You know, did a lot of things well in every aspect of the game.
You talked about identity victories. This is a comeback victory. Is more of that same identity revealing itself?
Absolutely. You know, we always talk about, you know, better as the game goes, better as the series goes, better as the season goes. Clearly got better as the game went. You know, Webby was good today, good sinker, threw the ball really well. Can you take good at bats? Got, again, better against him. Bullpen came in, good awareness, good approach. And then took advantage of some opportunities on the bases, ran the bases really, really well.
The aggressiveness on the bases and situational hitting, what really stood out to you most?
Yeah, I mean, you talk every situation. We talk about every bat's a situation. Every, you know, every time you're on the bases, there's a situation. And, you know, no particular order. I mean, Toddy's ball going first to third on the ball, crony, top, you know, back to the first base side. That was...
This hour, heck, this whole show, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by your local San Diego County UPS store. Your local San Diego County UPS store locations are hosting a Shred event. It got underway today, but the good news for you, it runs through March 30th. There's 50% off shredding services. Visit the UPSstore.com.
Wow.
For the location nearest you. Or see store for details. Gwen and Chris... Crisello Scraby, together in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Games in progress. Illinois and Iowa State, like, they can't make a basket between them. Illinois 16, Iowa State 9. They're midway through the first half. Alabama, North Carolina, they can't miss a basket. 1 minute left in the first half.
Whoa.
Carolina 51, Alabama 46. They're
Jeez.
Still in the first half of that
yeah.
game. Both teams might make 100.
This is a final score right here. 51-46?
I know. I wish the Aztecs could have scored 51. They did. They scored 52.
Nice. Good job, Chris.
UConn scored 82. If you're just tuned in, Padres won their home opener, 6-4 over the Giants today. We've been celebrating that fact throughout the proceedings. But Matt Snyder, our guy from CBS Sports, came across an interesting nugget. Now, what was the study again that he was referring to? Somebody did a study about whether or not normal everyday sports fans think they could hit major league pitching.
Yes.
Now, and like, what amounts to hitting it? Putting it into play, just making contact, or do you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's just get a hit.
Get a hit. Okay.
Yeah. So
how many people with a straight face said they believe they could get a hit off a major league pitcher?
Okay. So here it is. 2,000 sports fans were surveyed by Sports Handle about who could get a hit in
okay.
the major leagues.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure this out real quick. 23% of fans think if they had gone pro in baseball, they could reach AAA or the majors. I don't think that's true, people.
One out of every four sports fans
yeah.
think that if they put their mind to it, they could be at least a AAA baseball player.
I will say I thought that a long time ago.
You did?
I thought maybe when I was in my 20s or something, you know, I could learn how to play baseball or learn how to hit. Okay. I was a dumb kid.
All right, 23% of you are ridiculous, but go ahead. What else did the survey say?
The survey said, on average, fans think they could hit 233 if given 100 MLB at-bats.
So if they got 100 at-bats in the major leagues.
Yes, in the major leagues.
Fans think they could get 23 hits.
Yes,
which
correct.
Is a 230 batting average.
Correct. So they were better than Trent Grisham was last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Over 1 in 4 fans, 28% believe, this is even more crazy.
Yeah.
28% believe they could hit for an average of 300 or better.
28% of you.
Do you realize, people, if you could hit 300 or better, you would be playing baseball for a living?
Well, how about this? Last season in the major leagues, actual major leaguers, 9 players hit 300. Now, that's 9 out of like 600 players are in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Yet 28 out of every 100 fans think they could hit 300.
Yeah.
What is wrong with that equation?
A lot is wrong with that equation. That's like me saying, oh, yeah, I could keep up with a PGA Tour golfer.
That's like you and I saying we could be on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Well, now that I've done SD Fat Loss, you know, swimsuit season's already. No, I'm just kidding. There's zero chance I would ever be on the cover of that. Yeah. But this is ridiculous.
People's minds are warped.
Matt Snyder has a funny thing.
What did he say?
Well, first off, let me just start this with this. I saw it this morning. It's called Snyder's Soapbox. So I sent him a tweet saying Daily Gripe meet Snyder's Soapbox because they're basically the same thing.
Okay.
But Matt Snyder says, you're going to hit 0-0-0. And out of those 100 at-bats, you're probably going to strike out 100 times. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, because he says even if you go to like a batting cage, which we have a batting cage right here.
Yes,
down
we
there,
do. Stadium golf. Right.
And they have a fast setting cage. And the fast setting is no more than 70 miles an hour.
Okay.
So think about trying to hit a baseball 25 miles an hour faster than that.
Well,
and in a location you have no idea. He also goes on to say, imagine standing in a box where Aroldis Chapman is throwing 103 and he has no idea where the ball's going.
Well, they also throw curveballs and changeups. They don't just tell you, here's a fastball, and they don't lay it in down the middle. I think most people would go 0-for-100. I don't know that they would strike out 100 times, but they'd strike out at least 99. They might walk once. But, yeah, you're an idiot if you think you can hit major league pitching.
He said, I often hear, I'm just going to read it. I often tell people the first time I saw a slider, I almost cried. That's not hyperbole. Have any of these Barstool 300 hitters seen a big league slider? Again, I haven't. For the record, I was a accomplished high school player, wasn't good enough to see the field in college, and never made pros. But I was better than 99% of baseball fandom. So basically what he's saying is even guys that are really, 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 really good at baseball still couldn't hit major league pitching.
Well, 9 people in Major League Baseball hit 300 last year, yet 28% of everyday Joes think they could hit 300. I mean, as one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Anthony on the chat said something great. MLB The Show, he said, I can't even bat 300 in MLB The Show, which is very true. I am so bad at this game. But this is just ridiculous. And he goes on and on and on about this with more stats. So if you want to read this whole thing, you can go to CBSSports.com, go to the MLB page, and look for Snyder's
Good
soapbox.
On Matt Snyder. You know what? There are a lot of people that claim to be able to do a lot of things.
Yes.
And it's not my daily growth. Right, because I don't have that segment. But people who claim to do things just kind of piss me off in general. If you can do it, I don't want to hear you claim you can do it.
Like me dunking?
That's another thing. I'm just not a fan of boastful people.
I'm with you on that one.
I mean, honestly, if you can do it, keep it to yourself. I don't really want to hear it. Honestly.
But they have to let you know, Chris.
I understand that. It would be in my daily gripe. People having to let me know they can do stuff.
Anthony has another great point on the chat. Or eating Tide 10, because I did say that.
Oh, yeah,
show.
But you
so
did
I'm
that.
So I'm the guy you hate.
You backed that up, though. I was proud of you for that.
I'm the guy you hate.
Yeah. What else? We haven't discovered anything new, have we?
I know. Last thing from Matt Snyder, because he does bring up real athletes that tried to play baseball. And he said, Tim Tebow, one of the best athletes in the last 25 years. He hit 163 in AAA. Michael Jordan, one of the best, or the best basketball player of all time, hit 202 in AA in 1994. And he goes on to say, the level of pitching has gotten a lot better since Michael Jordan was playing in 1994.
Yes, but Joe in the street can hit 300 against major league pitching.
Yeah, that's funny.
That
I really
funny.
Wish we could do something about this. Like, I want to line up listeners and just have a pitching machine just throw 95.
But really throw, it's got to really throw 100.
Like
not just like what it says at the stadium golf.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to calibrate it to 100.
And it has
and
to
let
go,
it come zipping out of there.
Mm-hmm,
and you get give you five swings, you're not going to touch one.
When we go to spring training and we get to watch the pitchers do their thing, and we're really close, we're 5 to 10 feet away from these guys, you can hear the zip off of the ball. You can
I get nervous just standing next to them.
You can hear it.
Let alone having the pitch come at me. I know, I'm, you know, well, what do you want me to say? These guys are all, I'm impressed at most athletes. I'm trying to think of the one thing that athletes can do that I think I can do. I don't really have an answer. I certainly can't hit a golf shot like any golfer. I can't hit a tennis shot like any tennis player.
Yeah.
I can't dunk. I guess I could make a three-pointer, but it would just be pure luck, and they'd have to leave me unguarded.
Yeah, you're not going to shoot over a seven-footer.
No, I certainly couldn't, you know, maneuver myself open. I can't make a tackle. I don't think I would go across the middle and make a catch. And I know I can't hit a baseball. I mean, let's be honest, people. Be honest with yourself, for heaven's sakes. Please.
Man, one day I wish
you
we could
can't
do
it.
One day I wish we could do this whole.
And it's okay.
No, it's not okay, Chris.
What? It's not okay?
You know what? I was
no,
really I'm good
saying
Little
it's
League
not
player.
Okay if you can't do it.
I was a really good Little League player, and I feel all like right. I can hit Major League pitching, okay?
I remember before COVID.
Yes, I know where you're going. Keep okay. going.
We had a talk show host on this very station who claimed that they could hit 100 mile per hour pitching.
This is true.
And you and I and Tony were going to go do a show live from mm-hmm. the batting cage yep. to see if this person could truly hit 100 mile per hour pitching.
Yes.
Then COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this person was let off the hook.
Is this person Stephen Woods from the morning? Yes, it was. And, you know, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'd want to give him a shot at it, but I don't have a lot of confidence that he can really hit it.
I don't know. I've never
seen
him play. I
saw Tony Gwynn Jr., who's a major league ball player, try to hit 105 and was lucky to protect himself and not die in the batter's box.
This is a good point.
And that's a major league hitter, Tony Gwynn Jr.
And I will say, we're not saying that Woods thinks he's a 300 hitter in major leagues.
No, he just said he thinks he can hit the ball.
Yeah.
And we were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're like, I don't know.
I don't think I could get a hit, but I think I could foul one off.
How many pitches would you need, though? You need a couple to just time it.
Give me 10.
You want 10 for a foul off.
I could tip a ball once. If I knew where the ball was coming, that's another thing, Chris. I don't.
What if they could throw a curve also?
I would swing out of my shoes. Because I have played real baseball, like hard pitch baseball as an adult.
Right.
And I had never seen a slider in my life, just like Matt Snyder was saying. Dude threw a slider and I swung out of my shoes.
Yeah.
Not to mention major league break is much different and much crazier than it is elsewhere.
The closest I can think of that I did something silly like this was I went out to SDSU women's softball practice one time and tried to hit one of their pitchers.
Wait, say that again?
SDSU softball practice.
Yeah.
You know, the women's softball players who whip the ball underhand 700 miles an hour.
That's
They let me come out to practice
and
one day
and
try to hit.
And?
Oh, I missed like 30 pitches.
Yeah, because they're so hard to hit.
Yeah, but I finally grounded one like up the middle and felt like I had really accomplished something spectacular. But it was, you know, to say that I could really hit that stuff is silly.
I mean, they have
closed my eyes 30 times. I hit it once.
They have
that
the
doesn't
riser.
Really mean I can do it.
Did you hit a riser or did you hit a
I don't know what.
Drop
she
ball?
Threw everything. She just threw risers. Sink? She threw drop balls. She threw change-ups. I swung like four times at one pitch because it was a Bugs Bunny changeup. Yeah, I wouldn't claim, even though I hit one, I would not claim to anybody that I could hit that because it was just true, pure luck. Number one. Number two, I didn't even know if she was going 100%. She probably got tired of throwing the ball past me and eased up on a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
For all I know.
I mean, she made you feel good, though. You got one up the middle.
I felt great. Yeah, I did hit a ground ball up the middle.
It's not easy.
I went with my old friend. You remember Josh Rosenberg? Did you ever meet him?
I never met him, but I know of him.
Yeah, he went with me. Okay. And he didn't do a whole lot better.
All right. Was he an athlete?
Felt he was.
He felt he was.
Till he got embarrassed by this young lady.
It's not hard to get embarrassed by a Division I college softball pitcher.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Do you want to play a little Mike Shildt going out
sure.
in the wake of the Padres' 6-4 victory over the Giants today?
Let's do that.
Which opened the home portion of the season on a happy note. Is this his post-game press conference or is this
post-game, press conference?
Post-game
yes.
Mike Shildt on the Padres' win today.
Mike, how satisfying is it to put together a win like that in front of 45,000 home opener?
Yeah, first of all, just good to be back in Petco, right? And that kind of electricity, that kind of crowd, that kind of support. Beautiful day, opening day. It's fantastic. Couldn't ask for much more. And, you know, well played all phases. You know, did a lot of things well in every aspect of the game.
You talked about identity victories. This is a comeback victory. Is more of that same identity revealing itself?
Absolutely. You know, we always talk about, you know, better as the game goes. Better as the series goes, better as the season goes. Clearly got better as the game went. You know, Webby was good today. Good sinker. Threw the ball really well. Team to take good at-bats. Got, again, better against him. Bullpen came in. Good awareness. Good approach. And then took advantage of some opportunities on the bases. Ran the bases really, really well.
The aggressiveness on the bases and situational hitting. What really stood out to you most?
Yeah, I mean, you talk every situation. We talk about every at-bat's a situation. Every... You know, every time you're on the bases, there's a situation, and, you know, no particular order. I mean, Toddy's ball going first to third on the ball crony, top, you know, back to the first base side. That was sexy. That was a fun baseball. I love that. You know, Jackson Merrill, really nice read on the ball into left center. Boom, gets to third. Then he's at third, first and third. Ball Toddy hits, gets a little break, forces make a decision to look at him. Stays out of what may or may not have been a double play, but gets that lead guy into second base. Manny can't be going first to third. It's fantastic. And the approach is just guys good at bats, middle of the field. You know, that's a lot of what we talked about.
Well, you had Suarez warming in the eighth. Did you have him going through Yastrzemski? And then would you have brought Robert in?
That's correct. And if they had gone, you know, we'd have done something with Robert, perhaps. He was ready to go for four based on his rest. You know, we can't clearly do that. Good chance if we needed to, but Yuki, I mean, to mention Yuki, what a fantastic job. Really did a tremendous job, as did a lot of our guys.
The explanation you got on the Wade play was just, did he?
Out of the baseline. It was not, because, you know, now it's the base runner gets the dirt. He was in the dirt, and the judgment was they were clear about the fact that he extended, he went out of the base line to avoid the tag. So that was the call.
Pretty aggressive with Azokar there. Why was Azokar the play there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. You know, we got the lead. You know, we just got through, you know, kind of pros at bat. Like, I trust Pro completely. He's a good base runner. I just, once he got a third, told Barb, said he gets a third, less than two outs, you know, we'll take our shot. With the Azokar. Fact of the matter is, again, we won't do it all the time, you know, because Pro's actually moving pretty well this spring and so far into the season. So just took a shot there, and, you know, of course, contact took place, and they made a nice play.
Did you have Yuki pegged as a five-plus out guy coming into the season, and what has he shown you in terms of what kind of workload he can handle, at least in games themselves?
Yeah, you know, I don't think we had him, you know, penciled in as a five-plus out guy.
but we knew he was capable of it. The biggest thing for a reliever to be able to get five outs is the efficiency and how they do it. So his ability to be really efficient in the seventh and go out in the eighth, also be efficient, allows that fifth out. So it's really about how hard he's working, the efficiency of his pitches, and he was really efficient. He was really, really good.
Mike Schilt, 2-1 as Padre manager after the victory today. Tomorrow, he'll be on the morning show, Mike Schilt.
Yes, he will.
Joining Ben and Woods at 9 a.m. So make sure you tune in to hear the skipper. Our first Fryer Friday of the season on Gwen and Chris will include a visit with Dylan Cease.
Yes!
Very excited about that.
Me too.
Make sure you tune in tomorrow afternoon. We'll pick up the pieces of the Aztec game. Get you ready for game two of the Padre-Giants series. Thanks for being part of our extended Thursday night program.
Yes, appreciate all you staying up with us.
Mr. Scraby, Mr. Ello, peace out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.